serve a good, good Father, a good, good Father. We sung that song, and he's worthy of our praise. And God is good no matter what's going on in our lives. We serve a good, good Father. He is good. His goodness is not based on our circumstances. His goodness is based on his character. That's just who he is. He's a good God who has loved us with an everlasting love and given himself for us. And for that, we're grateful. We're thankful for his awesome love for us. Psalm 51, the song we just sung, comes out of that. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. And we know that if you're a child of God, God does not take his spirit from us. But if we're living in a way contrary to him, we can feel like God is not present with us. So we ask him to search our hearts and know us and see if there be any wicked ways in us and remove it from that presence. And he graciously does that in our behalf. And for that, we're thankful. We're so grateful. Just a couple of things before Reverend Gardner is going to come today and stand in the gap for me. I appreciate him all the way from Kansas City, Missouri, coming here and preaching the word. Reverend Gardner is a faithful man. I've been knowing him since back in the 80s. Go back to our Bel Air days. And so I'm grateful to be able to have somebody come, because not just anybody can come and stand. And you all know that, because the word of God is critical in our day, and we need to know truth. And we need to know truth. But we want to say our prayers are with Sister Dana and Sister Wilkerson with the homegoing of Sister Kathy, and that service is going to be August 22nd. Taken captive by some of the deceptive things that we're hearing today. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for us and pray for Reverend Gardner as we prepare our hearts to hear the word of God. Father God, we're so thankful today just for you. You are a good, good Father, and we sing that song, Lord God, and we mean it from our hearts that you are a good Father. Forgive us for the times when we may have said you're not good because of circumstances in our lives, and we feel the pains and the sufferings of life, the difficult things that we go through, and sometimes we question where you are and whether you are indeed good. But your word tells us that you're always good. You're a good, good Father, and you're always present with us, and so we thank you for that. Help our minds to be settled on that. Help us not to be wishy-washy. Oh God, help us to be rooted and grounded in the truth of what you said and live by that truth, not by how we feel, oh God, but by what is true of you, Lord. And you demonstrated just how good you are by sending your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to give his life for us on the cross. And we thank you that he died and took on all our sins and paid the penalty for us. He was punished in our place. And for that, we're thankful that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Lord. And we're grateful to know that when we stand before you, we will not be condemned, that you will welcome us home, oh God. So help us to be doing our part to serve you, to worship you, adore you in our journey, during our journey on this earth. We thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ and that power that got him up from the grave that is available for us today. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters today, all those that have gathered, whatever their need might be, that you would minister to them, that you would serve them, Lord, for only you know where we are. Only you truly know what's going on in our minds and hearts. And so we thank you that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or even imagine. And Father, I thank you for my brother, Reverend Gardner. Thank you, Lord, for his love for you above all else, his love for you, his faithfulness to you, Lord God, and his concern about people hearing the truth and knowing you. And so bless him as he comes. Guard his mind from the evil one. May he preach a word and preach your word alone, O God, and give us ears to hear and hearts to obey. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters. It's just good to be here this morning. got up and had all kinds of turmoil going on this morning over a set of cufflinks. And I thought about the message I had been given to preach. I had to live some of it this morning. And it was frustrating. I had to have a little patience. And they had to have a little patience with me. Because I am not one that's tardy, nor am I forgetful that often. But this one thing I was told before I left home, and that was to make sure you had some cufflinks in the suitcase. And me being flippant sometimes, oh, I got them. I got this. Because I put a shirt in there that didn't need cufflinks. About 8:30 this morning, I took my shirt out, I looked at it. I said, somebody must have changed this shirt. There's a little place on the sleeve for some cufflinks. And I don't have any cufflinks at all. But the devil is a liar. The message I'm going to preach is going to be the truth because I had to live a little bit of it this morning. I've lived a lot of it in my life. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you, Pastor Banks and First Lady Sister Banks. God bless you all. We sit right now in a time of turmoil, a time of discouragement, a time where some of us don't know where to turn. But God sent a word. And that word is one word, and that is wait. If you go with me to the book of Isaiah, and I'm not going to be long, I'm not a long-winded preacher, so if you all got your meals planned, keep them planned, we'll get to them, because I'm hungry myself. Isaiah, the 40th chapter, let's look at verse 25-31. When you get there, say amen. If you can stand for the reverence of the word, please do so. Otherwise, I understand. Isaiah 40, beginning at verse 25. Reads as follows from the King James Version. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One, lift up your eyes on high, and behold who has created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. Why sayest thou, Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increased strength. Even the youth shall fail and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But here is what we're going to shout about today. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Amen. You may be seated. I don't want to miss my family that's here this morning. I don't want to miss any of them. Just wave your hand if you're here and people can see where you all are. And thank you all for coming to support me. And my friend, Brother Malcolm, and his family's there. Good to see you all again. Where's my bishop at? Wiley. Oh, hey, he's busy as usual. To him and his family, I call him Bishop. He is mine in a way. Now, everybody can't do that. So don't you all start calling Bishop because I call him Bishop. You got to get permission first. You don't just approach a bishop in any kind of way. But I want you all to think on this one word as I page through here and prepare it. And the word that the Lord gave me is wait. In our text, Isaiah is speaking to the Jews who have gone into Babylonian captivity. They are far from home, discouraged, downhearted, depressed. As I read that, I thought about a couple weeks ago, my wife and I were at the doctor's office, and she was just giving us our yearly exam, and everything went well. And while we was there, she said, "You know what, Miss Garner, I don't know why, but here recently, people have come to me for physical ailments, and I've had to refer them to someone who was a psychiatrist for mental ailments. They were depressed, discouraged. Now, I like to call it the T syndrome, but you ought to get that when you get out of here. It's called the T syndrome. But the psalmist in 137, he spoke of these dire circumstances. Deep sorrow when he said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept. When we remembered Zion, what they're saying is when we remember the good old days, when we were at home, but we hanged our harps upon the willows, for there they carried us away as captives and required us a song, and they required us also of mirth, saying, sing us a new song, sing one of the songs of Zion. And their response is, how can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? We are living in strange times right now. There are days when the last thing we want to do is shout and rejoice to God. Our mood is down. Our situation is out of hand. And our sorrow or guilt is overwhelming. We can relate to the writers of the Psalms who often tell us tell us how sorrowful it was. But no matter how the psalmist felt, they were always honest with God in their prayers. They didn't try to fool God. They didn't say something that God did not know already. But sometimes we try to hold back some stuff when we're praying. But that's a time when you need to open up with God, because God already knows what you're going to say before you say it. You can't hide anything from him. And then it says, when you don't feel like rejoicing, tell God how you really feel. You will find that God will give you a reason to shout anyhow. He's giving you this day to live. Clothes on your back, roof over your head, food on the table. And a lot of folks take that for granted. But listen, don't ever take God's gift for granted. There's somebody, if you just look around, don't have food on their table. There's some folks who don't have a place to stay. They're living under viaducts in any abandoned building they can find. When you get through thinking about the things that God has already done for you, the things that you're waiting on him to do don't really get to be the matter, because you're shouting right now. Because the same God that took care of you back then gonna take care of you right now. Y'all can play church, but I don't like playing church. Y'all can say amen. Y'all can encourage me to preach. Well, I can stretch this thing out. That's up to you all. All I have is the word. I'm going to give it to you. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to tell you, God is telling us right now to wait. But my focus is on verse 31. Today it seems like we are all in a hurry, either to gain something, get someone, or to go somewhere. It all is done in a hurry. I was coming down the expressway right now, and I wasn't driving the speed limit. It used to be saying I was trying to get here on time. I was in a hurry. And you got to wait on folk. I didn't want to wait on some of them folk in the passing lane. So I made my own passing lane and got back in it. But I didn't want to wait. I'm not one who's tardy. But waiting has become a part of life. There's always a period of waiting. We all have to wait. We wait for red traffic lights to turn green. We wait on trains to pass by. We wait in the bank line, the grocery line. We even wait for the toast to pop up out of the toaster. We wait for water to boil if we're boiling eggs. Also, Mike say amen. We wait for the movie and the ball game to start. We wait for the phone calls, and we wait for people who show up who ain't never showed up on time before. That, to me, drives me up a wall. If I say 8:30, I mean 8:30. I'm going to be there at 8:20, waiting on you to stroll in at 8:30, and here you come stepping up there at 8:45. Like ain't nothing wrong. Yeah, there's something wrong. We ain't on CP time. This is Central Standard Time. And we always running late, and we always got an excuse. I see my dad tell me, excuses only satisfy the folk who make them. I can say that again, but I won't. But we even go to wait our turn in the doctor's offices. We wait for barbershops and beauty parlors. And we wait for the weekend. Or we wait for vacations and days off. We'll wait for things that we look forward to. We all spend a lot of time in our life waiting, and we really don't like waiting. Because we are people of instant gratification. What we want it right now. Microwaves cooking food 90 miles an hour. And don't you know when that food gets hot, it's cooling off just as fast as it heated up? So you better hurry and eat that food, because if you don't, it's going to be cold and ready for another shot of microwave. We don't like waiting. I don't know about you all, but waiting has become a part of my life. But there's always a price to pay for getting too much of anything too soon. Many times we don't appreciate it. And the stuff we got, we don't take care of that, but we want some more. I don't want to be fussing. But I'm just going to tell you what God gave me. Now you can take it or leave it. Maybe you're not one of those people who got so much you don't want no more. I want more. Matter of fact, I got my mind on the restaurant right now. Back here. It's not up front, it's in the back. But we also wanted to, I waited on the day I could graduate from Bremen High School. I used to sit in room 123, the study hall, looking at them cars going up and down Crawford Avenue and saying, Lord, if I could just get out of here. And when I graduated from Bremen, I graduated into something else, the U.S. Army. Couldn't wait to get out of Vietnam. Man, so listen, I got a check here for $10,000. If you re-enlist for 6 months, you can get it. I said, keep the money. I'm going back to America. And I'm not leaving there again. Not on my choice. But see, you understand this. We have to wait, even if it comes down to marriage. And Brother Banks and I have celebrated August 1st, our wedding anniversary. I've been married to my wife, Cookie, for 48 years. And I don't know how many Banks, Brother Banks got, but he ain't too far behind. She's been my angel and my tormentor. I'll be in the back seat on the way to Kansas City. But I love her because when I couldn't do for myself, she did for me. When I was sick, she was next to my bed. She refused to leave the hospital. And I can tell you, she's got two sisters who have watched us from the time we first started dating to right now. And I'm going to tell you something, I had to wait on her to come around. I was one of those guys in love. But wasn't in love with the one I wanted to be in love with, but the one I was in love with was the one my grandmother said, you're going to marry. How you know this, Mama? That's going to be your wife. 48 years later, here we stand. And I wouldn't change nothing for my journey right now. I love her and two boys and 9 grandchildren and a bunch of sisters who are just like my sisters. Mother's just like my mother. Father was just like a father to me. But God has been good because I didn't rush anything. We took our time getting married. We took our time choosing who we were going to marry. Too many everybody out there trying to find somebody right now. Listen, don't you know the people you doing ain't dating ain't doing nothing but, that's the word I want to use, performing. They acting. They act like they got a job. They act like they got some money. She act like she pretty. She act like she got a degree. When you get done acting and get tired of performing, the real person shows up. And that ain't the person you was dating. I told my wife the other day, I said, you know when I first met you, how quiet you were? I said, that's what attracted to me. You were so quiet and shy. I said, you wasn't like the other girls. You didn't run up and down the street with us hanging out. You was at home. And I said, oh, but now. I got to pay y'all. I might as well get all my money's worth. But we had to wait. And I thank God we waited. We waited on our children. We waited on our grandchildren. We waited for jobs. We waited to do the things that God wanted us to do. He was with us all the way. Now, I wouldn't tell anybody, if you're going to get married, if you don't take Jesus with you, it ain't going to last. Nothing you do without Jesus is going to last. My grandmother said, you can't hurry God. He may not come when you want to, but he's always on time. Another writer put it this way, he said, God is never before his time and never behind. The most important frequent use of the word wait in the Bible is the defined attitude of a soul looking toward God. It implies a listening ear, a responsive heart, and the wooing of God, a concentration of the spiritual faculties upon the heavenly things, and with patience and faith, an earnest expectation of a new creation. We're talking about the God we serve will recreate. These folk were in captivity because of their sins. They had done wrong, and God said, you're going to get twofold for what you did. And sometimes you know how it is. You've been sinners. I was a sinner. And what I did wrong, I got twice as much back. Wasn't happy about it, but I couldn't say nothing because I knew why I was being punished. Now, you confess your sins to man and woman, but you identify them to God. Don't be in church when you pray in there and all of a sudden somebody says, yes, this is so-and-so said. Child, you don't know? That's how we gossip. A lot of it come out of prayer meetings. Listen to what people pray for. And then put a little something on what you think they did or didn't do and pass it on. That's how lies get started, my father-in-law used to say. And people here are looking at you, you wonder why they're looking at you. And you ask them, See, I'm the kind of person, if I was a pastor Banks, if you told me something, you know, I'm going to tell you, go get it. Bring them in. Both of y'all come on in here. And do you know soon that gossip will start? It'll stop? Because if I say something about you in private, I got to say it to you publicly. And many times we don't want to say stuff publicly because we don't know how true it is anyways. But here's what I do know. In waiting, many times messed up men and women will offer panic and try to control life's chaos. Waiting is one of the hardest spiritual disciplines. If the Lord makes us wait, let us do it with our whole heart. For blessed are they that wait upon the Lord. He is worth waiting for. The waiting itself is beneficial. It tries our faith. It exercises our patience, trains us to be submissive, which is something we have a whole big problem about doing, submitting unto the word. My wife and I were talking about the scripture in Ephesians where it says, wives, submit unto your husbands, and how sometimes you get in church and folks just take that out of context and run with it. I can't run with that no more. My wife knows the word like I do. But it gives you a requirement if your wife, you want your wife to submit to you. You got to love her like Jesus loved the church. One more step. Jesus gave his life for the church. Are you willing to give your life to the one you're married to? Y'all I'll think on that while I get a swallow of water here. Think about it. They have no problem submitting when they know you love them. And every now and then, you got to say it. I'm over here, baby, take it. No, no. You got to hear it. You got to say it. Sometimes these men, man, that's kind of, you know, that ain't me. It better be you. Wake up with some hot grits on you one day. You be saying you know everybody. But you got to wait on the Lord. Be submissive. God's people have always been waiting people. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and the end of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary? So far from it, he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he gives strength. Even the youth shall faint, and the young men shall utterly fall. Listen, you got to understand something. That the power and the strength of young men, the power of young men is their strength. And that is to come to nothing. They must wait on the Lord. That's why I want to go this morning. Wait on the Lord, the everlasting one, one who does not faint and does not get weary. They shall renew their strength. I'm talking about spiritual strength, not physical strength, spiritual strength. Pastor Bank, that's a series of sermons all by itself right there. Then they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Listen now, all this is done by the strength of Almighty God. Believers who are to live a heavenly life in the very presence and the love and the joy of God, they are to live where God lives. They need God's strength to rise up there. It will be given to them that wait on the Lord. You know how eagle's wings are obtained? The only way you get eagle's wings is that you are born to be an eagle. You just can't make no wings and say, I'm an eagle. You may not have known it, but you may not have heard. He stirs up his nest. He disappoints your hopes. He brings down your confidence. He allows you to fear and tremble, or as all your strength fails and you feel weary. But whatever your losses have been or may be, you are standing at the foot of Jesus' cross, trusting alone in the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's blood. No rise or fall in the stock market can interfere with your salvation. No bank failures, no bankruptcies can touch your salvation. God is your Father. No change of circumstance can ever rob you of that blessing. You may be brought to poverty, stripped bare. You can say, he is still my Father. John 14:2 says, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. Here's a little bit of eagle information. An eagle is an excellent specimen of a bird. An eagle is swift in flight. He has the ability to fly into a storm, but he finds his safety in being able to fly above the storm. The eagle does not find safety in just flapping his wings, as some of us be flapping our mouths, talking, ain't saying nothing. But he flies into the storm. You got to understand something. The wingspan of the eagle is so large that he stretches out his wings and the wind gets beneath it. His wings and elevates him above the storm. Somebody here this morning know what I'm talking about. You stretched out your hand before the Lord God Almighty late in the midnight hour. When all is quiet, you said, Father, I stretch my hands out to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, whether shall I go? Even in the midst of stretching out your hands before the Lord with all your problems, with all your trials and tribulations, God allowed the wind of the Holy Spirit, I feel like shouting this morning, to get beneath your wings and lift you above your trials and situations. And while he's spreading his strong wings for you to rest from your weakness, and he is offering his everlasting strength to work in you, and all he wants you to do in your weakness is to wait on the Lord. allow him in his Jehovah Jireh mode to strengthen you, to carry you as you ride upon the wings of his omnipotence. Listen, my brothers and sisters, I pray that you lift up your eyes and behold your God. Listen to him who says he fainteth not, neither is he weary, who promises that you too shall not faint or be weary, who asks nothing but one thing, and that you should wait on him and let your answer be yes. With such a God, so mighty, so powerful, so tender, my soul waiteth on him. Some of you all may be struggling with some disease right now. It could be cancer, could be lupus, I don't know, it could be heart disease. One thing I know is that it cannot stop or cripple your love. It cannot shatter your hope. It cannot corrode your faith. It cannot eat away at your peace. It cannot destroy confidence. It cannot kill a friendship. It cannot shut out memories. It cannot silence your courage. It cannot quench the spirit. And Lord knows it cannot lessen the power of the resurrection. That's some shout material, you all. There's a lot of things those diseases can do, but they can't do that. An incurable disease might invade your life. Refuse to let it touch your spirit. Your body can be severely afflicted. But if you keep trusting in God's love, your spirit will remain strong. Have you ever gone to the hospital and somebody made you feel better when you were there to make them feel better? But their testimony told you about how good God can be. One thing you'll learn in a hospital is to wait. You wait on the nurses, you wait on the doctor, you wait on the results from the blood test. But in your waiting, do one thing, make sure you pray. Don't leave prayer out of your waiting period. God don't change something, Jesus can change everything. You name it, he can change it. But you gotta wait on him, don't try and fix it. If we could fix ourselves, we wouldn't need hospitals. We wouldn't need doctors. Now, there's some folk who go there all the time, but that's another sermon. I know, because I did not want to go when I went. But guess who took me? Guess who took me? Somebody just said it. She was right there with me. And I'll just leave you with this little funny part. I've had two heart attacks. And the first one, we were up at St. James, and they moved me over to, at the time, Blue Island. And my wife was there by my bedside, and they were bringing in, you know how they bring in the papers to sign, and my youngest son was with her. So he was at home, so he left home and came to the hospital. And he said, "Here, Mom, here the checkbook." My wife looked at her and said, "Son, if you see these numbers, that checkbook ain't gonna do us no good." But there was an angel in that room, y'all. And I'm gonna sit down. We left, and the ambulance took me to what was up in Blue Island, St. Francis. And we were there, and I had just come out of surgery, and I had all of these tubes and needles in me, and my wife and my oldest son came in, and they were standing over the bed, and there was a nurse there. And she told him, said, "Listen, you all go get something to eat." He says, "I'll take care of Winston." And they said, "Okay." She said, "Winston, if you can breathe, I can take this tube out of you." So I started breathing. She took that tube out. She said, "I know you're thirsty. You want a little ice." She said, "I can't give you water, but I'll give you ice. Ice never tasted so good to me in my life." But that wasn't the end of the story, y'all. My wife talked to her, got her name, and when they took me out of the hospital, she wrote back, called the hospital because she wanted to send a thank you card and some flowers to this nurse. Do you know what they told her? "There ain't nobody here by that name." I'm here because of the miracle of an angel watching over me. I had to wait on the Lord. Bishop, I learned my lesson. I'm going to wait. Everybody else can get in a hurry, but I'm going to wait. I want him to renew my strength. I want to mount up on wings as eagles. I don't know about you, but I want to run and not get tired. And I want to walk and not faint. But the everlasting God, my Lord, my Savior, my Jesus, he never gets tired. He does not give up on you. You might give up on him, but don't let go. Don't change nothing. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep staying in the word. Keep praying. If you're waiting, keep praying. Get on your knees and pray. If you ain't got nothing to thank him for what he's done for your neighbor. Because what he's done for them, he may be doing for you next. Be thankful. That's all I've got this morning. But I just thank you all for your time and your attention. Thanks to Pastor Banks for his privilege. The devil is busy, but he's a liar. God has got us in this place, in this country, for a reason. We've been straying too far away from him. Sometimes he has to spank us, bring us back. This place will be full one day. And it will be full because of Pastor Banks. It's going to be full in spite of him because you're going to be bringing souls in here. Come see a man who preached like no other. Come hear about him. My pastor speaks of him. He speaks very highly of him. Why? Because he's lived with him. He walks with him and talks with him daily. We need to learn how to do the same thing. Amen.